today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
That's what we need. Simplicity, dependence. Greatness in the kingdom requires childlikeness, not childishness. No attitudes and temper tantrums, that's childish. Those are the things the scripture says that we are to discipline them away from. But there are some qualities of a child, that purity, that innocence. It's not self-seeking. You're not thinking about layers of position and what's in it for you. You're just thankful. In fact, the heart of a child, all they really care about is pleasing mom and dad.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
When you were a child, did you see your parents or caregivers as invincible? Now, as a grown child of God, do you see your Heavenly Father as invincible? Let's join Pastor Troy as we continue our study on Jesus' words about having a childlike humility and depending on our Savior to provide for us. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information as well as how you can receive a free copy of this broadcast. Now, here's Pastor Troy in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 1, with his continuing study entitled The Attitude of Great Humility.
The world's definition of greatness has influenced even the church and our mindset. But if people are to see Christ in us, we can't afford to get caught up in these kinds of disputes or arguments or pursuits, not as our priority. In fact, to the Corinthians, Paul wrote, "You know what? It is better that you are wronged and accept being wronged than to drag the Lord's name through the mud and misrepresent him." You are Christians. You're a Christian. And you're going at times against other Christians. And you guys, can't you settle it in a godly manner? Isn't the Lord your judge? Isn't there anyone Christ-like among you who can help judge the case that you would take this case before pagans? Glory to God. Wearing your crosses. You know, those kinds of things. It's just better to accept wrong than to do this kind of stuff. We can't afford to get caught up in these kinds of things that distract us from being a light and salt in this world. Why can we not afford to get caught up in these things? Well, listen, who wouldn't do something when there's something in it for them? Doesn't take a Christian to do that. Because I'm a Christian and I like what's right, and what's right benefits me. That doesn't represent the Lord. Better to accept wrong. Who wouldn't help someone else when there's reward in it for them? Yeah, I took the $100 reward, but it was the Lord who inspired me with that $100. There are some who serve in this church right now who no one thanks. No one thinks about them. No one knows what they're doing. Occasionally, I see what they're doing. And occasionally I remember to thank them. They're just so quiet. They don't demand attention. They don't demand notoriety. They just do what they do. And they're humbling to watch. They're serving. They're just serving the Lord. And many of you wouldn't know that they do anything. I remember one time my kids were playing. Took them to the park and they were playing in one of the ball fields. And my son came back and he had found a phone. I think it was a smartphone. It was a nice phone. I told him, "Well, we need to try to find the owner." I looked at it, turned it on, and there was a little message there. "If found, please contact." And so I was able to get into it and look and see. Well, we got to contact the number. And I think there was a reward, too. They put reward. I don't know if it was $100 or what. It was a significant reward, especially in my son's eyes. But I told my son, I said, "Look, we can't benefit from somebody's misfortune. They've lost their phone. This is a nice phone. We're not going to charge them $100 because we happen to find it." And my son was a little disappointed, you know. I said, "We're not going to do that. That's not even the Christian thing to do. to benefit off of something like that. What we're going to do is contact them. I mean, if they force us, we'll take something, but we're going to tell them we don't want anything. And that's the right thing to do. So we didn't get anything. We came to their home, gave them the phone. They were so thankful. But when I was able to tell them, hey, God bless you, and just share a little bit that I was able to share about God stirring in our hearts that we don't want to reward, that went further for the kingdom of heaven than me thanking God for the $100 that I would have walked away with. Do you see what we're in this for? To bring glory to God. And whenever we're seeking for number one, when we're seeking for ourselves and we're considering for ourselves, we don't see God at all. Everyone can point to they're in it for themselves. And so we're called to pick up our cross, to deny ourselves, and to follow Him. And God will take care of us. Damian Kyle, pastor of Calvary Chapel in Modesto, in California, said, "A self-sacrificing Savior can only be seen in a self-sacrificing saint." We don't know exactly what prompts the dispute, but we do know what motivates the dispute, and it's pride. It's been said that true humility is not thinking lowly of yourself. Some of us think we're being humble when we're saying, "Well, I'm no good. Oh, no. Hey, that was a great song. I don't sing very good." That's not humility. That's this false sense of humility. That's self-deprecating. "Oh, I'm not good, but bring it on, bring it on. No, no." That's wrong. That's actually pride. Reaching out for the compliment and the encouragement from others, but all the while saying, "No, no, I'm no good. I'm not valuable. I'm not worth it." No, true humility is not thinking of yourself at all. Not thinking how bad you are. That's still pride. "Man, I was horrible." That's pride. "Man, I didn't do good. Man, they're not going to like me." That's pride. True humility, you're not thinking about yourself at all in the equation. When we're arguing over greatness or position, it reveals that there's something in us that needs to be torn down, dealt with, because it'll compromise our effectiveness for Christ. In fact, it could cause us to get in the way of Christ. They'll begin to see us instead of Christ, and He doesn't want that. And it's clearly a wrong attitude for any who would be an apostle in the kingdom of heaven. And so Jesus continues to teach them. So as they ask this question, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He says, let me answer that for you. In verse 2, Jesus called a little child to Him, set him in the midst of them and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Now, the word child here, the word He uses for child, is a word that refers to a young toddler. Don't look at an 8-year-old, 10-year-old, 13-year-old. This is, imagine a little 2-year-old. So, what's great in the kingdom, Lord? What's great is it? I mean, it can't be Peter. I mean, he's always saying something and making mistakes. What is great? I mean, we're humble. You took the 3 up there. You know, you took them, but we stayed at the bottom patiently and waited for you. What is great in the kingdom of heaven, Lord? He says, let me show you. Can I have that yet? Grabs this little 2-year-old, sets him right there. Look at that. That's great. I don't know what you're saying. I don't know what that means. See, at that age, they're not so complicated, right? They're very simple at that age. They're helpless, for one. They have no resources of their own. They're totally dependent on mom and dad. All they want to know in life, beyond this, they want to know so much, but really they want to know, where's mom and dad? As long as mom and dad's in the equation, I'm okay. That's all they really care about. They're not questioning their parents about checkbook balances. "Mom, how much is in the account? Because I like this." They're not thinking about that. In fact, from their perspective, mom and dad have unlimited funds. Do they ever grow out of that? And some of you got teens and they think you got unlimited funds too, right? So maybe they don't grow out of that. But at 2, for sure, all they know is you say yes or no. But they think you can buy that plane. You can buy tons of planes. Let's get the Lamborghini. Oh, I want that one. They just know that you can take care of it. You have the ability to do it, and they're willing to ask you for anything. Jesus is saying, if you want to belong to the kingdom, and look at the way he says it. He says, if you want to belong to the kingdom, you need to be converted. Not lead in the kingdom. If you just want to belong, if you just want to enter the kingdom, you need to start here. You can't be self-sufficient. You can't be thinking you're great or deserving. You need to be like this child. It says, I'm dependent. I'm not self-seeking. In it for greatness. I just know I have a great Father. That's what we need. Simplicity, dependence. Greatness in the kingdom requires childlikeness, not childishness. No attitudes and temper tantrums, that's childish. Those are the things the scripture says that we are to discipline them away from. But there are some qualities of a child, that purity, that innocence. It's not self-seeking. You're not thinking about layers of position and what's in it for you. You're just thankful. In fact, the heart of a child, all they really care about is pleasing mom and dad. Now we know there's selfishness in the heart of a child. There's foolishness in the heart of a child. That, again, the scriptures tell us to discipline out of them. But a child just wants to please mom and dad. And there are some things that they do, like their little pictures. There's no Picassos out there. Your children's art at 2 years old is not all that, right? It's not that great. Not from an adult perspective. But from their perspective, they are Picasso. And that's a tree. And that's a wolf. And that's daddy beating the wolf and protecting the family. You know, and dad's the hero and mom's, you know. And so they got this picture and you're like, oh, that's nice. What is it? What is that? That's daddy. What do you think about daddy? You know, what do you mean that's daddy? You know, why is daddy smaller than mommy anyway? You know, because mommy loves me so much, you know. And daddy's little because he's so far away. He's always at work, you know. Little children see things. They put it in their little pictures. But they don't want you to go, that's out of alignment. That's not true art. There's a distance and symmetry. They don't want that. If you want to create an artist, then that's what you do at the right time. All they want to know is you love them. I love your picture. I love you. It's that simple for a kid. So the Lord says, you know, make it easy on yourself. Stop acting like adults and start acting like kids. God's kids. Children in the kingdom of heaven. You don't deserve anything. You're not great. You're not greater than anyone else. You don't deserve this position. You shouldn't be seeking after these things. Just love the Lord and seek to please Him. It's that simple. He says, verse 4, therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. Whoever receives one child like this in my name receives me. The disciples are arguing about being great in the kingdom. And Jesus says, you want to be great? Receive some of these. Care about some of these. Care for some of them. See, when a person desires to be great, one thing you can almost guarantee is they often want nothing to do with children. It's true for our culture, and it's often true even in the church. Why? Because there's no glory in it. It's time-consuming. It's busy. It's hard. And there's no glory in it. There's no reward in it. There's no prestige and honor in it. So they often want nothing to do with children. And so we have a culture today of people who are putting off children and putting off even having children of their own so they can pursue the big things. I got to get a career established and I got to get all this stuff and the ducks in a row and I got to have all this in order. And I don't want to have children. They get in the way because we're pursuing something. God wants you to have all those things. You won't have children until He says. And then what happens is some try to time it themselves. Want to do away with all this. And then, okay, now we're in a situation and now the clock's ticking. And, oh, no, no, now we got to have children. And then they find themselves in a place where something's happened. Maybe it was the method that they used, whatever. And all of a sudden they find themselves having difficulty having children. That happens a lot more than is reported. Time goes by. You get sucked into the culture. You get sucked into the world and there's never a good time. There's never a good time to have children. Hey, my wife and I were much older when we had children. It was never a good time. Because now we're thinking, they should be grown up by now. We should be ministering to people. We're raising our children. So there's never a good time. Actually, that's wrong. That's a wrong way to put that. From that perspective, there's never a good time. It's always a good time. It really is. I'm torn at times. I love my kids, but they're growing up so fast. I can understand more, you know, my wife's tendency and women's tendency to want children and want more children, because as they're growing up, you're just thinking, they're growing up. Where's my little baby? It's difficult. It's always a good time to have whatever God gives you. So people put them off because they're pursuing greatness. Even in the church, you'll find more people who want an opportunity to teach adults and adult ministries. And you mention the children, I don't want the children ministry. I can't do that. You know, the greatest teachers, they can speak to anyone at any age. I remember, I'm no great teacher, but I do remember a situation where there was a kid at church, not our church, it was another church, and I guess he was a troublemaker. You know, I got in trouble all the time. I always saw him in the hall. And so I just went and I sat next to him one time. I said, how are you doing? And he just started talking to me. He wasn't happy, but I was an enemy, I think. I was an adult. And I just opened up and just said, you know, you're out here. Are you in trouble? And then I asked him why he was in trouble, and I just talked to him. And that kid, who didn't like any adults, I don't think he liked his own parents, after that time, for months, that kid would look for me. I didn't think I had done a whole lot, but I had so ministered into that kid's life just by being there, just by listening, treating him as a human being, that that kid loved coming to church. He looked for me. He would dive at me and hug me. He was a totally different kid, at least around me. And I'll never forget that. We're called to minister to whoever God gives us to minister to. And if you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, you will care about kids. You will care about the next generation. You will care about the future. Jesus is saying, if you want to be great, then care about them. Invest yourself in the simple things of life. If you receive one of them, you receive me. Hey, there's no shortage of people who will stand before the crowds of adults. But look to them. Look at them. Care about them. So what if they consume your time? Minister to them. People seeking great things like the disciples are more interested in positions of influence over adults. I want to encourage those of you who are serving in our children's ministry and let you know, in God's eyes, that's great. If you're not looking at that as a ministry, a stepping stone ministry, and you love kids and you want to minister to them, that is great in the eyes of God. So in our first session over 3 weeks, you're doing good. For those of you who overlook kids, don't want to have anything to do with kids, take your heart before the Lord and find out why that is. Because true greatness in the kingdom of heaven is to care even about children, even about the simple, even about those who don't benefit you in the least. So greatness in the kingdom of heaven requires a right attitude. What is that? A humble attitude. Stop seeking great things for yourself, because when you seek great things for yourself, it always causes arguments, jealousies, and it compromises our witness and often our willingness to follow the Lord. Don't be like chickens trying to find that pecking order. You know, I've told this before, but it's just a great illustration of humility and the humility of a child. When my kids were much younger, I'd say Rachel was just a few years old, maybe 3, 4, something like that. They were playing the Lone Ranger. They were just riding their little horses, chasing each other. There's Joshua, there's Tori, and there's Rachel, broop, going in a row. And Joshua's yelling out, I'm the Lone Ranger! And Tori's behind her, and she goes, I'm the horse! And my daughter, Rachel, she's behind, she goes, I'm the poop! I guess in her mind, you know, that's the progression of it all. You know, that's a picture of humility. The humility of a child. I mean, how much lower can you go? You know, I thought, I'm the saddle, you know, maybe, but it's that childlike humility. I just want to be in the game. I'm just glad to be playing. Okay, I'm not the Lone Ranger. Okay, I don't care. I'm playing and I'm going to have fun and I want to do this. That's humility. That's becoming like a child and trusting and depending on and following the Lord. Let your fulfillment come from pleasing Dad, pleasing your Father in heaven. Care about others, the simple, especially children. Philippians 2, 3 through 4 says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." Jesus said, if you want to be first, you need to be last. You want to be great, you need to be considered the least and the servant of all. And Jesus demonstrated this. In fact, it was in Bruce Shelley's book, Church History in Plain Language, the very first line of that book says, "Christianity is the only major religion to have as its central event the humiliation of its God." Instead of seeking great things for himself, Jesus took on the form of a servant. You know what that means? It doesn't mean he did what he wanted to do like a servant. He was a servant. Whatever needed to be done. When he needed sleep and the crowds were there to be ministered to, he forgo the sleep. He ministered. Whatever the need was, he was there for the need. He ministered. He was a servant. Not only did he become like a child, he became a child. He was God. He was in heaven with the Father. And yet he was born of a virgin and he grew up in the flesh. And he fulfilled the law. And he did it not for himself, but for you. He considered others more than himself. If I had done all three of them, I think next week's study would have taken the bulk of the time because there's just a lot to it. It's very important. Next week is about not being a stumbling block, personal holiness, and how that should be important to a person who would be considered great in the kingdom of heaven. And then in a couple of weeks, having a heart for the lost because we are ultimately heaven bound. Without that mindset, you got a heart for the world. And we need a heart for what's beyond this. These are the attitudes of those who would be considered great in the kingdom of heaven. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and repent of their wicked ways," he says, "then I will heal their land." I'll be their God. So in light of being great in the kingdom versus being great here on earth, I think it's only right that we humble ourselves right now and pray and seek the Lord. Because really, how do you just become humble? How do I just do that? You can't. The only way that you can do it, you can't make it happen because you're still proud. You're still saying, how do I do this? And you can't do it. The only way you can become humble is by constantly comparing yourself to God. That'll humble you. You look to Him. You keep your eyes on Him. You look at His sacrifice. When He says, be a servant, you don't look at John or Jim or James or Ann. You don't look at them. You look to Christ, who humbled Himself to the point of death and death on the cross. So you keep looking to Him. Those who are most proud are those who are least looking to God. But those who are most humble are those who are most looking to Him. You can tell a lot about where someone's looking, whether they're looking at Him or not, by the humility you can see in their life. And so we need to look to Him now.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper. I want to know you more.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to Building on the Solid Rock, the teaching ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel, Solid Rock, in San Antonio, Texas. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you can download today's message or subscribe to our podcast, which is always available in the iTunes store when you search for Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you'd like to contact us, our email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. When you contact us, please let us know how today's broadcast has blessed you. Your feedback helps us know the Lord's direction for this ministry. Until next time, we'd like to say thank you for joining us, and please make plans to join us again, same time, same place, as we continue to study through God's Word. That's next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
And I wonder why. I wonder why. Look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.